إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الحشر بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، ومن أصدق من الله قيلة. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إن شاء الله تعالى today's khutbah sermon is going to be, actually it's going to be a series of sermons regarding the obligations Muslims owe to the Quran, or what the Quran demands from Muslims. And we shall begin with the first obligation, inshallah ta'ala, today. It is indeed impossible to fully comprehend the greatness and the grandeur, the azama of the Quran, the last of divine revelations to humanity. It is a book that guides to a life of absolute tranquility in both worlds. A book that illuminates the path that goes to a safe and secure destination. A book so light in weight, yet so heavy in its contents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the following ayah, in the ayah I started out with, suggests an analogy that might help us imagine the power of the sublime Qur'an. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Had we sent down this Quran on a mountain, you would certainly have seen it fallen apart into pieces, crumbled down into dust from the fear of Allah. And we present these parables, these similitudes to people that they may reflect. We observe with great sadness the disastrous condition of the Muslim Ummah throughout the world. In the final analysis, this depressing state is because the Muslims have abandoned the Quran. In order to rectify this condition, we must understand our responsibilities toward the Qur'an and try our very best to fulfilling them. We can neither expect any improvement in our worldly state of affairs nor hope for salvation in the hereafter unless we carry out all the obligations we owe to the Qur'an. The Qur'an demands of every Muslim 5 obligations. A Muslim is required to, first and foremost, believe in the Qur'an as they ought to believe in the Qur'an. The second obligation is to read the Qur'an. The third one is to understand it. The fourth is to implement it, to act upon its teachings. And finally, the fifth one is to convey its message to others, to humanity. Inshallah ta'ala, today I'll try to shed some light on the first and foremost and most important obligation, believing in the Qur'an, to believe in the Qur'an. We take it for granted that we believe in the Qur'an. Faith, iman, has 2 phases. The phase of the verbal attestation, إقرارٌ باللسان, and the second phase is تصديقٌ بالقلب. We have the verbal attestation part of the belief in the Quran. We say we believe on our tongues. But the تصديقٌ بالقلب, the yaqeen in the qalb, the certainty that we believe in the Quran is missing from us. It is only when a person comes to cherish this belief with a deep conviction that the light of true faith will then illuminate his heart. As his iman becomes stronger and stronger, his feeling of reverence towards the Quran becomes greater and greater, and logically this becomes what we call ta'zim. Then you come to really appreciate the azama of the Quran. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the first to believe in the Quran, as was given to us as a testimony by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala near the end of Surah Al-Baqarah. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Indeed, the messenger had believed, truly believed, at the level of conviction with what had been sent down to him and what was sent to him, the Quran, along with the believers. والمؤمنون. Alhamdulillah, may Allah include us amongst them. Primarily, the people that are mentioned in this ayah are the great Sahaba who truly believed with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and struggled alongside with him in the establishment of a just social order based on the teachings of the Quran. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was indeed the first to believe, and this is why you find in so many ahadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as saying, أنا أول المؤمنين أنا أول المسلمين. I am the first of the believers and I am the first of the Muslims, those who surrendered and submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now to understand the glory and the grandeur of the Quran, let's focus on this ayah. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل. Had we only sent this Quran upon a mountain. If you take any Quran in any size and you place it upon a mountain, nothing is going to happen to the mountain. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting an analogy to make us understand how great the Quran is. It's not the weight, physical weight of the Quran that would cause a mountain to crumble into pieces. It is the weight of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recall what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the very early stages of revelation. Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila. We're going to throw at you, O Muhammad. We're going to burden you with a very heavy qawl, with a very heavy speech that is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is that weight. It is the content of the Quran that would cause such a thing to crumble down into pieces. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Only had we sent this Quran upon a mountain, you would have seen that mountain crumble down into pieces from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah ends this ayah very beautifully, because we are the only creation in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed upon us the faculty of hearing, seeing, and intellect. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. These are the similitudes. They're only examples. You cannot comprehend the azama and the grandeur of the Qur'an. So we present it to you in the form of an example so that people may use their intellect, may think, may ponder upon this great and glorious Qur'an. Now, in order to really comprehend that profound ayah, let us focus our attention to an incident that took place on the Mount of Tur between Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that incident was mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, ayah number 143. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَمَّا جَاءَ مُوسَى لِمِيقَاتِنَا وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ قَالَ رَبِّي أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. And when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came to us to our appointed place and time, Jabal al-Tur. وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. And then his Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, spoke to him directly. Upon hearing what Allah had to say to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, qala, he responded and he said, out of curiosity, qala rabbi arini anzur ilayk. O my Lord, reveal yourself to me so I may see you. How beautiful. Qala lan tarani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you cannot behold me. This is beyond your comprehension, beyond your capabilities. وَلَكِنْ انظُرْ إِلَى الْجَبَلِ. But on the other hand, fix your gaze upon the mountain. Fix your gaze upon the mountain. فَإِنْ اسْتَقَرَّ مَكَانَهُ فَسَوْفَ تَرَانِي. If the mountain remained intact still, then you will see me. Then what happens? فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when His Lord manifested His glory and light, تَجَلِّي, to the mountain, جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا, the mountain crumbled into dust. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam fell unconscious. So you can imagine how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with His great glory, in which the Qur'an emanates and comes out of Him for the purpose of guiding humanity in the form of the Qur'an, how great that thing is. And only if we can understand the greatness of the Qur'an, then we would come to truly believe in it as we ought to believe in it. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Only had we sent this Quran upon a mountain, you would have seen it crumble into pieces from the fear of Allah. This Quran we have is so great that there can never be a book like it in the world. And for this reason, you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenging in so many places in the Qur'an human beings as well as jinn to produce the like of the Qur'an, to produce a document, a bayan, a book similar to the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra very profoundly puts out a challenge to the people. قُلْ, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because the Prophet was challenged over and over. This is the sayings of a magician. This is the saying of a soothsayer. This is not the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Muhammad to say, قُلْ لَأَنْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say, if the whole of mankind and the jinn were to gather together to produce the like of this Qur'an, they could not produce the like thereof, even if they backed up each other and helped each other and supported each other, they will never be able to produce anything like that. Believing in the Qur'an is the first and foremost and most important obligation. And so many places in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْكِتَابِ. All you who believe, believe in Allah, believe in His Messenger and in the book. And this address is to the believers already. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالنُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. All you who believe, again, the address is not يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, the address is to the believers already. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the state of the ummah, knows how we are influenced by the lusts and by the luxuries and the pleasures of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that there will come a time when we will abandon the Qur'an. And this is why Allah repeatedly in the Qur'an, in one form or another, reminds. After all, the Qur'an is a reminder. Huwa dhikr, it is the reminder. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and in the light in which we have sent down. The light and nur is another word for the Qur'an. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a very profound hadith, he said, مَا آمَنَا بِالْقُرْآنِ مَنْ اسْتَحَلَّ مَحَارِمَهُ. We must focus on this hadith, because we are living in a time where fasad has become prevalent everywhere, where seeking fatwa to make your life easy, whether it is to get a mortgage or a loan on interest and usury, it's very easy to do that nowadays. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma amana bil Qur'ani." No one can claim that he truly believed in the Qur'an. Man istahalla maharimahu. Whoever takes what Allah declared in the Qur'an haram to be halal for himself. And how many of us in the world, the Muslims at large, are seeking our livelihood from haram means? And then on top of that, we profess and say, we believe in the Qur'an. This is wal'iyadu billah, nifaq, hypocrisy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all forms of nifaq. Indeed, Allah had said in the Qur'an, again in so many places, He will not overburden you with things that you cannot handle. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. He's not going to overburden you with things that you cannot bear or with things that you cannot handle. Allah will make it easy for you. All we need to do is show the reverence to the Qur'an. All we need to do is to truly, from the depths of our hearts, declare and try to rejuvenate that faith that we have on the tip of the tongue and make it penetrate our hearts as a conviction and live in accordance to the commandments, in accordance to the ahkam of the Qur'an and the sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look into the attitude of the Muslims today, it is precisely the same attitude that the former nation, Bani Israel, had to go through and went through. And for this reason, you find in a very stern way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking regarding Bani Israel in Surah Al-Jum'ah. Because number one, they professed that they believed in the Torah, when indeed they acted contrary to their verbal attestation that they believed in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ayah is very clear in Surah Al-Baqarah, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. What's the matter with you? And the address here, really, although it was Allah talking to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is describing the attitude and the behavior of Bani Israel, the former ummah, former Muslim ummah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a messenger of God. He received a book from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Torah. And the people, Bani Israel, were a Muslim people, supposedly. But their behavior and their attitude was contrary to the teachings. They believed in parts of their book and they rejected the other parts. This is why you find this ayah, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. What's your problem? You pick and choose, you take from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever suits your life, whatever suits your desires, and wherever it requires some hardship to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you totally reject and deny those ayat. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Anyone who takes into that attitude of picking and choosing from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah promised for them humiliation and disgrace in this world herein. Is it any wonder why we Muslims in the world facing humiliation and living in a state of disgrace? Is it any wonder? Just think about that for a moment. This is in this life, humiliation and disgrace in this world. How about in the hereafter? Allah promised in the hereafter that they will be thrown into a very severe punishment. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ Do we want to follow in their footsteps? Or do we want salvation? Or do we want happiness in this world and happiness in the next? If we want happiness in this world, and if we want happiness in the next world, then we better truly believe in the Qur'an and accept the Qur'an. آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ كَمَا هُوَ بِأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ وَقَبِلْتُ جَمِيعَ أَحْكَامِهِ أَقْرَارٌ بِاللِّسَانِ وَتَصْدِيقٌ بِالْقَلْبِ I believe in Allah. It should come from the depths of your heart that you truly believe in Allah. As He is in His names and attributes, and that you accept every command of His, be it small or big. You cannot reject any of His commands. Otherwise, we fall into the same trap of those former Ummah Bani Israel, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed in the Quran regarding their attitude towards their book. And what happened in Surah Al-Jum'ah? I began to talk about their attitude, not only in picking and choosing, they failed to uphold the Torah, to establish a just social order on the basis of their teachings, the Torah. And what is happening today with the Muslims? We have failed to uphold the Quran as the constitution to the world, to guide humanity towards true, towards the pursuit of true happiness in this world. And salvation in the hereafter. مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين. The likeness, the similitude of those who were entrusted the Torah. Now why we mention these things? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of all the stories regarding the previous nations, He repeatedly mentions Bani Israel. Number one, they were the Ummah immediately before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they had a similar mission. They had a book, they had to establish the Torah, they were entrusted to uphold the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He presents their stories for us to learn and draw lessons from. In this al-ayah al-mubarakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the likeness of those who failed. Who failed. مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا The likeness of those who were entrusted to uphold the Torah, but failed to do so, are like a donkey carrying a heap of books. To what avail? To what use? You can have 10,000 Qur'ans in your homes. You can have 10,000 Qur'ans in your libraries. We could have 10,000 Qur'ans in our masajid. To what use if we don't implement them? If we don't follow them? If we don't understand them? بِئْسَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِأَيَّا Woe, evil are those people who كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ Denied and rejected the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never guide those people who have transgressed and who are unjust to themselves and to others. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the clear understanding regarding the azamah and the grandeur of the Qur'an, and make us of those who will truly believe in the Qur'an, live the Qur'an, and approach the Qur'an. Make a contact with the Qur'an. Because if you don't come towards it and start establishing that contact with the Qur'an, our situation will continue to be the way it is, and our hearts will continue to rust and rust and rust. And the only way to wash the rust from the hearts is through the Qur'an and Qur'an and Qur'an. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد In order to purify our hearts from the diseases and the lusts and the pleasures of this world, we have to reconnect back with a 1400-year-old tradition, the Qur'an. The Qur'an is our way out. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a beautiful hadith, when Ali radiallahu anhu heard the Prophet describing the time when fitan will appear, when fitan will take place, and asked him, what will be the way out? How can we get out of this situation if and when it happens? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Kitabullah, the way out is the book of Allah. And indeed, there can be no other way out of the misery we Muslims are living today in the world, everywhere in the world, other than the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why you find in Surah Yunus, one of the most beautiful ayat in this regard, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was addressing at that time Ahl Makkah, of course, but in general, he was talking to humanity. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Just ponder upon this beautiful ayah that appears in Surah Yunus. Two ayah, ayah 57 and ayah number 58. O people, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ. A wa'ad, a maw'idah, a sermon that will soften your hearts has come to you from your Lord. وَالْوَعَدْ فِي الْأَصْلِ هُوَ التَّذْكِيرُ بِالْعَوَاقِبِ كَانَ بِالْتَرْغِيبِ أَوْ التَّرْهِيبِ. What is wa'ad? Wa'ad is to remind about the consequences, either through hope or fear. And this is the style that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses in the Qur'an. The whole Qur'an is wa'ad. مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ. It is wa'ad from Allah. وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And it is a healing. This Qur'an is indeed a healing to the diseases of the hearts. How beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala diagnosed the diseases of the people. And He presented to them. He is, as a matter of fact, He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the physician to the people to cure their hearts from the diseases of jealousy, hasad, takabbur, arrogance, urge to dominate, the love of this world, fame, name, all of these diseases. This Qur'an will definitely heal those diseases of the heart. وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it is indeed a guidance, وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it is a mercy to the believers. Are we not blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just by being guided into Islam, whether by birth or through conversion? Is this not the greatest blessing and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is the guidance to the believers. This is the Qur'an that is going to take you to absolute happiness. And it is a mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised us Muslims, number one, and gave us a book in which we can follow, understand and follow and live and lead a good and happy life. قل, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قل بفضل الله وبرحمته. Tell them, due to the bounty of Allah, this is a fadl from Allah. What we have, and Ibn Abbas translates, bifadlillah, al-Qur'an. This is the greatest bounty and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ, he adds, this rahmah is al-Islam. فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. So let them now rejoice and be happy that they received what can save them from a very severe punishment, that can save them from miseries in this world. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. This book is better than all the non-Muslims, the polytheists, mushrikeen, Jews and Christians and everybody else put together. Because they don't believe in the Qur'an. And unfortunately, and sadly to say, a big chunk of the Muslim people today don't believe in the Qur'an. And they are after the luxuries of this world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all these diseases of the heart, and may He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us to that path that will lead to salvation, that will lead to the rida and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran. Allahumma ameen. Inna Allahu malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم بارك لنا في القرآن العظيم اللهم اجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة اللهم علمنا منه ما جهلنا وذكرنا منه ما نسينا وارزقنا تلاوته آناء الليل وأطراف النهار واجعله حجة لنا لا علينا اللهم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم آمين 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 وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وأقم الصلاة يرحمني ويرحمكم الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.